Excelsior, and welcome once again, true believers, to another installment of Zach and Tavy's Marvelous Adventure. I am Zach Walliner.
I'm Tavy Phillips.
And we are here going on a journey through the Marvel Cinematic Universe from the beginning, as Tavy's a newcomer, I'm the seasoned expert, and all kind of leading up to the Fantastic Four, but hopefully going beyond that too. That's coming out relatively soon as of this recording, so it's the thing that got us into this whole thing, but obviously it's taken off into a whole new thing of its own, just having fun with it.
It's its own thing, although I'm very excited. I'm increasingly excited about the Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
but more than just Pedro Pascal now.
Oh, that's good.
Still mostly Pedro, but I'm like, this is cool. This looks pretty good.
That's good. So. I'm sure being part of this helped.
definitely. 100%.
100%. Well, that's cool.
Because of this. So you've done something.
One of us. One of us.
Oh, no. I'm in the cult.
No. You're part of the Marvel tribe now. You're
that's right. I'm in the fan base now.
You joined the fandom.
You sucked me in.
So tonight, as we record this, this is an exciting time for the show. And not just because this is our 10th episode, which is a mini milestone of itself. Multiples of 10 and even multiples of 5. But, you know, the 5th episode wasn't going to be that big of a deal. And 10th is only so much. But this, we hit our first 10. So that's exciting. But also, as we're recording this, things are really coming into shape for the launch, which should be any time now. I've got cover art covered. Literally.
Cover art covered.
And found some theme music.
Nice.
The first episode's been mostly fully edited, and I've recorded the first bunch of Penny's Corner with her, and we inserted that in there. And I've just got to work on the end credits and then give it a good listen through on headphones and make sure it all sounds good. And then just make sure I can get the podcast feed in place to get that all rolling and launch it. So that's really cool. And
I'm super excited. I'm super grateful that you are the podcast producer guy, because I have no skills in this area. I'm in awe of all the work you've been doing, as we've discussed.
I appreciate that.
Offline. I'm really looking forward to the launch as well.
Yeah, no, and I'm looking forward to the fact that you're looking forward to it, because it's cool to have a partner in this where my work on it is not just going to be satisfying for me.
Right.
Like, you're going to be happy to finally see how it all comes together, where I've been working away. I'm currently in the middle of the second episode, where I just recently finished our first file because the Zoom meeting time limit. So I just finished the original Zoom meeting and I'm starting the second Zoom meeting. So it's coming along. Still too many you knows and ums and pauses, mostly on my behalf. But as we go along with these, I think and hope...
You're a perfectionist, and appreciate that.
Yeah,
somebody has to be.
It does make it more time-consuming, and like the pauses, but I'm very careful, and it really truly is gratifying when I edit it and it's nice and smooth, because even I'm proud of myself in gauging sometimes how long to leave a pause, because I don't cut every pause, because some of it would be too jarring for us going back and forth, or me, where I'm trying to think or tease a point. So if it was too close together, that would not be good. So
this is some real sausage gets made stuff for me. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I don't think about all of these things.
A little bit for you and a little bit for the audience. And the process, I'm doing the same thing over and over. It's just many times. And hopefully as we really get going and have our vibe, I will have to do it less. But I'm still happy to see it come together. And anyway, on that note, let's get down to it. Once again, as with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, this one's going to be a little different because we are not covering the typical movie. Do you want to tell the audience what we're talking about today?
I do. This week, we watched the Marvel one-shot, little short films that I think probably came out on DVDs and things like that back in the day and are now available, of course, streaming, as everything is
yes,
on Disney Plus.
That's correct. These are not a movie, not a TV show. They are bonus features.
Yeah.
So I have written down which each of them are from. They started pretty early on and they did them for a little bit. And then actually, while I was doing research on these, I forget that there are more, but they're kind of down the road. There's a handful more.
Oh.
But this, we're passing in our timeline of covering the MCU where this group ended. So I figured it was
okay
to now tackle all these at once, get them out of the way, and then move on to the next movie.
That's right. There were 5 of them. And I did pay attention. The earliest one was 2011. And then the last one was 2014, looks like.
Sounds right.
Yep. And they get longer, I noticed. So
yes,
they start out really short.
That's why we were originally planning to record this yesterday, and I got through watching a few of them, and then I realized, oh no.
Oh no,
we're not going to finish these before the time Penny goes to bed. So we had to push it back a day because we had actually, as a family, watched the first two a little while ago just because there was some curiosity. But we rewatched them again to have them fresh in our minds and as part of this whole lot. But I was coming in thinking that they're all going to be relatively the same runtime of the first two, which was not the case. But on that note, let's get into the first one. Do you want to say what that one is called?
I hope I wrote these down in the right order and watched them in the right order, but we'll see, I suppose. The first one I watched was A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer.
Okay, that's actually the second one.
Okay, what's the first one? Is it The Consultant?
The Consultant.
Okay, let's start with Consultant. I have that as number two. I was all over the place, and I actually had to go to Wikipedia finally and go, am I catching all of these? Because Disney Plus doesn't have like a one-shot category. You have to just go find them in the timeline category.
Yeah, if you go on the timeline, they're in order.
Yeah, I sort of jumped around because I went, oh, was that one? And then it went back. Whoops, I missed it. So all over the place. But I did watch The Consultant, 2011, 4 minutes.
Yeah, that was on Thor Blu-ray originally as a special feature.
That makes sense. And actually, when I saw the title, I thought, Consultant, that's familiar. Isn't that... I kind of spoiled myself by thinking back to a conversation, and I can't remember which movie it was in, where they're talking about Tony Stark's status.
That's right.
Does he make it as an Avenger, or does Iron Man pass and he fail or something, and they decided something like he's a consultant?
That's right. That's with Nick Fury's little debrief at the end of Iron Man 2, where...
That's right.
Basically, through Iron Man 2, and probably before that, as Nick Fury had his eye on Tony Stark when he's first revealed at the end of the first Iron Man, so he's obviously been keeping an eye on him then. But by the time of Iron Man 2, we see clearly Nick Fury's more involved in that film, and he's monitoring Tony / Iron Man and seeing if he is determined to be fit as part of the Avenger initiative. And then he calls him a consultant, and that's where the title of this feature comes through. Now, in this, we actually see a glimpse of basically a whole little scene that we've seen before. It was from the ending of Incredible Hulk, basically how the movie ends. It feels like a post-credit scene, but it was actually the end scene of Incredible Hulk, where it flashes back to General Ross kind of licking his wounds in the bar, and then in steps Tony Stark.
Right. So, oh my God, I forgot all about that. Yes.
So the purpose of this little short feels like it's kind of adding information we didn't have that explains why that meeting happened and then follows up from it. So rather than me just summarizing, can you talk a little to what you remember of this short and how you felt about it?
Sure. Well, first, I did have to cast my mind back because it's been probably a couple months now since I watched The Incredible Hulk.
Sure.
So I had to stop and go, Blonsky. The Abomination. Oh, right. Tim Roth, the Russian bad guy. Right? Like, I really had to connect the dots.
The Russian with the British accent.
That's right. And then I had to go, they? Who's they? They keep talking about they want us to get, what's his name? To get Blonsky. Oh, it's the World Security Council. Those jerks.
Basically them and or S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it's a little
I don't remember
fuzzy.
If they specifically said it was the council. They might have. You might be right on
I
that.
I think they did. I think they did at least mention the World Security Council wants S.H.I.E.L.D. to get Blonsky. Nick Fury doesn't really want him.
That makes sense. They're telling them, yeah, here's your marching orders, but S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't want it.
S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't want it, so we need to blow it somehow. Yeah, it's like the producers. You can make more money with a flop than a hit, kind of thing. You want to fail. So who'd they get? And it took me halfway through this before I remembered who the consultant could possibly be. It's a very funny reveal when they get into the diner and you see that it's Tony Stark.
Right.
As the consultant.
So as you mentioned, they do mention the majority of it is a diner conversation between Agent Coulson and also Agent Sitwell, who we met in Thor.
Right.
And
I couldn't remember his name, and I called him Bald Guy in my notes. He was in another short where they called him Sitwell a lot, and then I was like, oh, that was Sitwell.
Yes.
So you see, the puzzle pieces click into place eventually.
Yeah, these two guys appear a few times through these one-shots, but they're talking about this, and their dialogue is exposition to explain why Tony Stark met with General Ross in that bar and then what came out of it. So that seems like the whole purpose of this short, to just add that extra information and tell a little story behind it. So Sitwell mentions the Abomination, and he says, oh, the Abomination, which is interesting because that's the first time he's kind of named as a code name, because we hear it as one of those passing references to the character's comic book name, where in The Incredible Hulk, when Blonsky is asking Samuel Stearns slash Mr. Blue to give him the treatment with Banner's blood to sort of Hulkify him, but Stearns says, I think you've already got something in there. If we mix the two, it could be an abomination. Just like,
that's right.
In your face, like, wink, wink, there you go.
Wink, fans. Wink.
That's the name. But here it's clearly that's what they're referring to, that monster that he became as. So he's got his official comic title bestowed upon him, and that's how they're referring to him. And so the two of them are planning, and they're talking about trying to get a patsy to get this thing on. I thought it's a funny sequence where
it goes on about, well, it's like, I'm a good patsy. Yeah, I did great patsy.
And Coulson basically goes on about how good of a patsy he is, where it's like, okay.
I get it.
Get the point. So, yeah, do you want to talk about how that played?
Well, they say that they need someone more arrogant and abrasive, right? Instead of a patsy, they really need somebody to annoy.
Yeah, they basically describe Tony Stark to a T.
Yeah.
And in like, case are you not, you're not sure thinking about the consultant, are you? And it's like, I didn't say that. It's clearly talking about him.
Yep. And then we don't actually watch the conversation, right? Then we get the sort of recap in the diner afterwards.
Yeah, so it's a bookend to that Incredible Hulk ending, where they're talking about what they need, what they want, because of what the orders they've been given and the plan they formulate. Then we're reminded of that clip again, and then they talk about what came of it.
Yeah, which was a very funny, basically, bit of business where Stark annoys the general so much that the general tries to have him ejected from the bar, and Tony buys the bar.
And then has it demolished.
You can't get rid of this guy. No one's more annoying than Tony Stark. Yeah, it was fun. It was very short, but it was a lot of fun. And to spend some time with Sitwell and see the dynamic with him and Coulson. Coulson is kind of a favorite of mine, I think. I'm just always happy to see Coulson.
So, yeah, he's good when we get to see him again.
Yeah, a little bit.
I did forget to mention up top that this is also different as with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in that we don't have any trivia cards. And Stanley does not appear in any of these. However, we do have 5 separate penny corners.
Yes.
On that note, let's kick it over to Penny's corner and see what she's got for the consultant. What do you say, Penny?
Hi, my name is Penny, and this is Penny's Corner. Today, we're going to be talking about all the one-shots. And for the first one, it's The Consultant, where Agent Sitwell is drinking a coffee mug with the words Dr. Pepper on it. And I just like soda a lot, like Coca-Cola, Sprite, and Pepsi. So I just wanted to mention that, but I don't actually really like Dr. Pepper. I just wanted to mention that. Anyways, I'll see you in a little bit. But bye for now.
Yes, that was an interesting detail to point out. It shows that Dr. Pepper on his mug. So that was very astute of you, Penny, to point that out. Thank you for that. And with that, I suppose we can now move on to a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer. So obviously that's in reference to the fact that Coulson, we see him in Iron Man 2, where he's called away to New Mexico, something bigger, you know, can't babysit Stark. The post-credit scene for that movie was where he sees it. He goes, sir, I found it. And we see Mjolnir in the ground. Then during the course of events of Thor, he's there dealing with it on the ground in New Mexico, watching Thor take down a bunch of his guys, interrogating him, etc. But so now this one-shot short film takes place between him leaving Tony and him arriving in New Mexico. So what happens here, Tavy?
This was a lot of very, very light, in my opinion. There was not much plot to this short. It's the same length as The Consultant. It's 4 minutes long. It just feels like less happens in it than The Consultant. It's fun to watch. Agent Coulson is in a gas station looking at donuts, right? Everybody loves to see Agent Coulson with his donuts. Two robbers come in to hold it up, and he kind of takes them out with a bag of flour.
One of them, the initial tricks. It is amusing where he's just in there while he's filling up his car with gas, looking for donuts and whatever. And then there's a robbery and they're asking the one behind the counter whose car is that, because that indicates that someone's there. And he just chimes in, he peeps up, and he's also like, you might want to know that I have a gun. Like, bit of probably.
Did you want me to put it down? Did you want it?
could have maybe utilized that to try to take them down, but instead he comes up with a plan where he utilizes it and gets the job done all the same. So then he even, you know, you'd think they'd be a little suspicious because he's like, how about I kick it over to you? I don't want to toss it because the gun could go off. Okay. And say, all right, now I'm going to move over to this aisle and do it over here. Wouldn't they be like, well, why do you have to go to that aisle?
Not the brightest robbers in the world.
Yeah, they fall for it, but that's where he slides the gun, and while the guy's picking it up, he grabs the bag of flour, and I think he tosses it at the other guy,
right,
who's now distracted, and it hits him in the face, and then while the guy bending down doesn't have a chance to react, that's when he kind of takes him down.
I would be remiss if I didn't point out the title of this one. Do you know what the title of this is a reference to? It's very important to me.
Oh, well,
as a nerd,
I'm not a musical theater newbie.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Anything happen on the way to
That's right. The Sondheim reference, which I was very, very happy to see in a Marvel property. I did not expect that to happen even once in the course of our watching. So it was very exciting to see a little nod to this early Sondheim work of Anything Happen on the Way to Thorne.
And what did you think of Coulson in action as the sort of action hero that not really
fantastic. I love the slow-mo kicking in the air, the whole thing, the quip at the end. What should I tell the police? Tell them those Tybo tapes really paid off. Like, he had the whole cool as ice action hero thing down beautifully. Love to see it.
Yeah, it was cool. And I also wanted to mention, we see a close-up on the gas pump. It says Roxxon. That is a company in the comics. I think they're kind of a rival to Stark Industries in the comics. So that's of note. Just one of those little fun Easter eggs for the fans. And lastly, I think we can move on from this. So first, once again, let's take it to Penny's Corner.
Hello, it's me again. I'm Penny, and I'm back for the second Penny's Corner. This one is a funny thing that happened on the way to Thor's hammer. It's kind of hard to say, but it's easy. So the fun fact is that Coulson couldn't decide between what donuts to get at the store, so he decided just to buy both. And I thought that was kind of goofy in my opinion, so I honestly just decided that to be my Penny's Corner. Anyways, I'll see you for the third one in the next Penny's Corner. Bye!
Yeah, that's a funny little detail, you know.
Yeah.
If you can't pick one flavor, might as well buy both of them. Thank you, Penny, again. And that brings us to...
Okay, what was number three? Was number three item 47?
That's right. Okay. Oh, I forgot to mention, a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer was on the Captain America Blu-ray. This now... This one, item 47, was on the Avengers Blu-ray, very appropriately, yes, because it is a direct follow-up to the,
right after the
Avengers.
The Battle of New York. Yes, mm-hmm. This was 2012, and this one was 11 minutes long.
Yeah, so it's picking up the runtime. Did the other two have the Marvel logo introduction at the beginning? I feel like they didn't.
I'm never going to notice that. That is a huge detail. You asked that about another one, too, and I swear to, I will never
know. Oh, yeah, because I felt it stood out. That's why I mentioned it, because I feel like I don't remember getting that full treatment in the first two. But
this one definitely felt more substantial. It felt like a real short
story.
Yeah. Film. Yeah.
So tell us a little
bit more about that. Okay, so we're right after the Battle of New York, and we have a couple of, I'm going to say, down on their luck people. Who,
lovebirds?
A couple of lovebirds. One of them is played by Lizzie Kaplan, who I recognize from things.
Party and, Down, she was
Yep. Party Down, she was
girls.
In Masters of Sex, she was in Mean Girls. So, fun to see her. I didn't recognize who played Ben, but she played Claire. And they have discovered some tech. They have stumbled upon some of the alien tech that rained down from the sky.
Yes, the Chitauri tech.
Yes. So some big gun, some weapon, some really impressive, scary weapon. Mm. And they said, hey, we can't catch a break here. Let's go do some crimes.
Yeah, well, it's funny. It starts and they're talking to each other, and it seems like just a couple having a conversation in their car, and then they pull their ski mask down. You don't realize their ski mask until they sort of reveal, oh, okay, they're going to pull a robbery.
Yep.
And they've got
successfully knock over some banks all over the East Coast of the U.S.
And shortly after they reveal themselves, we get an on-screen opening title and a freeze frame, which is a little stylistic choice, a little something different than the others.
That's right. I guess we then cut to Agent Sitwell again.
Right.
And Coulson's gone now, right? Because it's post-Avengers.
Yes,
because
there is
and
a thing.
Presumed dead, right?
Where the other guy accidentally kind of calls him Coulson at a point, right. The other agent he's working with. And so then they reference that. It's like, oh, yeah, it's still kind of fresh. They're just sort of getting used to him not being around.
Now, the guy that he was working with, that was like his boss. Did we meet that guy before? He looked familiar,
No.
But I couldn't remember.
He is familiar to me. I don't remember where from. His name is Titus Welliver.
Okay.
But it didn't immediately ring any bells, but I was looking it up at the cast list. But
so, yeah, Titus Welliver, whose name I don't remember in the short, what the character's name is, but that guy, the shield guy that Sitwell's working with, has sent him to retrieve the weapon and neutralize the two criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are brought to a motel. Things are about to get steamy, although we know it's not going to get too steamy because it's Marvel property. Nothing gets too steamy, I don't think, in Marvel properties for kids, you know.
For the most part, no.
Mostly. So they're about to have some fun on the big pile of money, right? When I thought it was pretty obvious that it was a big fake party happening next door in the motel room.
Yeah, you get the loud blaring music. And
the loud music, and they're like,
get someone to go, okay, turn it down.
Right. So this is obviously that, well, we discover who is baiting them to come next door so he can grab them. So he grabs Ben, and Claire's like, I think there's some grappling, right, between Sitwell and Ben. And Ben manages to turn the music down or off something long enough for him to shout and warn Claire, who can then scoop up the big scary tech, right, piece of tech, which is item 47, right, because it's 47 of 47 pieces of tech that they needed to recover after the Battle of New York.
Right.
So she blows a big old hole in the motel wall between
them. Kind of tries to warn him to get down, watch out.
Yeah. I thought it's still pretty dangerous. There was still going to be a pretty good chance she was going to hit her boyfriend by doing that, but okay.
It does make a big blast. It's
not the smartest criminal in the world. I think Ben's pretty smart, though, because he's the one that managed to get the tech working.
Right, because we hear from Sitwell that there were 47 things, and it was all basically dead after Tony had that missile go up to the mothership, and everything seemed to shut off, including the soldiers for some reason. And all but this one thing is working, and you find out that Ben somehow had the skills, know-how, just fiddled around with it in the right way to get it working.
Yep, so he reverse engineered it, and so he's definitely, well, I guess cut to, we're back at S.H.I.E.L.D., and guess what?
It's a fun little twist.
Yeah, it's a fun twist ending where he has brought them on to join the operation, and Ben's going to help them figure out the other pieces of tech that they might need help with, and Claire has to do something, so she's going to be the assistant to that annoying boss
Right, guy. Which I looked up, his name is Agent Felix Blake.
Oh, thank you. Okay. That's not the most memorable name. I'm going to forget it 30 seconds after you said that.
I'm sure they don't.
But okay. Felix Blake.
I can't imagine they mention his first name if even they call him Agent Blake in it. I don't remember that.
I think they might call him Agent Blake, but it didn't. Right over my head.
But yes.
But yeah, so that's a funny ending where he's kind of stuck with them. And then there's a little mid-credits blip.
Oh, that one?
Did you see that? So
I forgot to stick around for that one. I went back and rewind it just to make sure I didn't miss one, but I guess
so it's, he says, do you know how to make coffee? And right, this is during the actual short, and she says no, right, and it sort of ends, and then there's just a little mid-credit book where she's just sitting in an office chair spinning aimlessly and looking bored because she doesn't have skill. It wasn't much, it was a little bit of her spinning, but it was fun.
That's funny. Yeah. So Sitwell, after the whole hotel thing, you see that he's got them in zip ties. So obviously you think they're under arrest. They're going to be taken away by S.H.I.E.L.D. or imprisoned. But then he brings them on because at least Ben is useful. She, not so much.
They're a package deal, though. So he had to bring them both.
It's almost like he does it just as a punishment for Blake. I'm going to saddle you with this annoying woman who can't even make coffee.
Exactly.
So that's how it ends. And it plays the Cars, Just What I Needed, during the credits, which is a nice tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Good music. And once more, let's head over to Penny's Corner.
Hi, it's me, Penny, for the third time. And this is my Penny's Corner for item 47. And it was a fun fact that the guy, Ben, was not, like, happy to hurt people, but he was still stealing. So he was, like, asking people on the security cameras. You can see he was, like, asking people if they were okay. And I just thought it was a very nice thing of him. So I made it my Penny's Corner. Anyways, I'll see you next time for the fourth Penny's Corner. Bye!
Yeah, once again, Penny, that's a great observation. I didn't notice it until you pointed it out to me, and we had to rewatch it. But the fact that Ben is going to lift the woman up in the robbery and kind of check on her, pat her back. And then there's another time with a guy. So I guess it's a little character building moment to show they're not really bad people. They're just down on their luck, like you mentioned, and they're going about it maybe not the best way, but they have access to this crazy piece of alien tech, so might as well make use of it, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a great observation. Penny's got such a good eye for detail.
Thank you, Penny.
I didn't notice either. It's good character building.
Yeah, definitely. And next up from the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray, we move on to...
Is that Agent Carter?
Is Agent Carter.
My favorite one.
It's long. And
yeah, 2013.
I suspect you enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I almost wondered if you could pick my favorite one. You probably would have guessed that this is my favorite one. So this is, Agent Carter refers to Peggy Carter, Cap's love interest from Captain America, who unfortunately, you know, tragically, they part at the end of that movie. And so this picks up basically a year after that happens, right, and we see what her life is like after that.
Right. So we do, as with the consultant, we revisit that ending scene where this wasn't the very ending scene of Captain America, but it's sort of how things end with the two of them, where he has to crash land that jet with the bombs and they're communicating. I think they cut it down a little because they don't have the talking about having a dance and all that.
Right.
But it gets the point across about their relationship and how things tragically ended between them. So now life moves on for Peggy. She's still there. She's still alive in the 1940s. Post-war New York City as part of this team of the SSR. And how are things going for her?
It's not so great being a woman agent in this boys club of an office. She's got quite the sexist boss. I'm a fan of Bradley Whitford, and it was a lot of fun seeing him play this sleazy sexist character, passing her over for missions, making her do paperwork and all that.
Yeah, it reminded
me. Infuriating stuff.
It reminded me seeing him sort of a jerk once again of Billy Madison, because I think that was what I first ever saw him in, and he's a real villain in that movie. And I think
I have never seen Billy Madison.
Oh my god.
Should I watch Billy Madison? Maybe I should.
Yeah, I don't think he's typically known for villainous roles, but
no, see, I know him from The West Wing, where he's playing this real smart, good guy type of, nice guy type of guy. Although we have seen him, he's done a multitude of roles. He played a bad guy in Get Out, so
right.
Maybe I will watch Billy Madison, actually. But yeah, it's fun to see him as kind of a villainous. Not a villain in the sense of
a jerk.
Bad guy.
A jerk.
But just a jerk. Just a jerk guy, yeah.
So, yeah, she's dealing with that. It's, I'm sure, reflective of the times. Women didn't really have roles of authority so much. So that she is even in the role she has and had in Captain America might be a stretch for what entailed in reality. But she's there. She's done it. But now she's on desk duty. And like you said, they're really treating her like a second class citizen. At one point, they're like, hey, we're going to go, me and the boys, have some dinner. You think she's going to be invited along. But it's like, hey, can you finish up those papers on my desk?
Right. They leave her to do the work when they all go out to have fun.
So obviously she's mourning the loss of Steve while also being unhappy with her lot in life in general, because she knows she's more capable and better than this.
Right.
But it's
and she shows herself to be, whenever somebody has a question for her and she's already done all the research and it's all neatly typed, she has to be better than the best.
Right.
And one step ahead of everybody.
Which, unfortunately...
Yep. a familiar story.
Even 80-something years later, still kind of applies.
Still a thing.
Still an uphill climb for the fair sex, and we got a lot of work to do on that and so many other things, but here we're back to Marvel escapism.
That's right. So in the great tradition of escapism, there's a MacGuffin here called Zodiac. I don't know that we learn much about what it actually is.
Yeah, Zodiac, I think, has been a villain and or a villainous group in the comics, where the main guy maybe is called Zodiac. I think they've had at times where like each member of the group is named for each symbol.
Sure.
Like astrological. So I'm sure it's got a long history. It's not something I know so much about, but I vaguely remember. I think Nick Fury's brother might have been central to it in the comics. But in the context of this short, it doesn't matter all that much. We know it's the bad guy, the bad thing she is made aware of and ends up having to go on an impromptu mission type.
That's right. Nobody else is available. So off she goes. They recommend 3 to 5 agents go on this mission. And off. She just scratches that out of the notes and takes off by herself, which is generally, I would say, not recommended. But Peggy shows herself to be more than capable when she arrives and ends up basically taking out all of the men single-handedly. She doesn't even have that serum, right? And she's just a superhero, and really good at her job.
She's just really kick A, I guess I'll say. Family friendly, kick butt, we could say. She's a kick butt woman.
Real kick butt lady, yeah. She goes in there.
She gets the job done.
Takes them out. Yep, she takes them out. She leaves one guy tied up. I loved the bit when she used her compact to peer around the corner to see who was coming. That was so stylish, I thought.
And I like, it's a funny little bit of business where the two guys are sent out to kind of deal with her. She ends up kicking the crap out of them while the other guy's just behind the desk inside and music's playing and you see them through the window until she smashes one of the guys through the window. Then he has to take notice. And somehow, I guess they're really nervous of intervening because he has a Tommy gun right under his desk. Pretty handy. Just whips that right out, but she's able to take
care. Neutralizes that with panache. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the most fun part to me of the episode is the wrap-up, which is the comeuppance of her boss. So after she's done this, he comes in to sort of chew her out, basically.
Right, like, oh, you need to know your place kind of thing.
Put her in her place.
You should have reached out. You should have gotten one of us. The red line went off and no one else was around. You guys were off having your dinner.
Yeah.
You picked up and it just started talking. It didn't ask, hey, who's there? She didn't have to say a word. She didn't have to reveal herself. They just started pouring out the information and she took it. She ran with it and got the job done. And then some. It was at one point when she has that one guy with the Tommy gun knocked down and tied up, she's asking him questions to know what she's up against. And he tells her like four guys and she's like, including you. And he's like, yeah. And then it turns out when she's looking at the Zodiac thing and I guess, what was it, in a box or a briefcase? There is an extra guy because she shoots a bunch of holes in the door and you think maybe she's trying to shoot someone on the other side of the door, but really she shot enough to make a perfectly sized hole to throw that smoke canister in. Then she does that, knocks out the one guy in there, and then she gets a gas mask and she's in there and she's looking at the stuff, but then suddenly the reveal of this big brute guy also
the beefy guy. Yeah,
and they tussle for a bit and it comes to a point where he's overpowered her and she's on the ground and he's choking her. And you see she's reaching for her briefcase. I think there may have been a gun that was knocked down, but she's going for the briefcase. And I think you're going to think she's going to grab the handle, whack him over the head. But she ends up, there's a little thing that pops out and it's a knife. So it's a cool little fake out.
Great. Yeah. Some good spy stuff going on there. Agent stuff and hidden weapons and things. And some nice surprises. And they managed to put a little suspense into it. She doesn't just come in and quickly dispatch them. It does look like big beefy guy is about to get her. He almost does.
Yeah, she does pretty good handiwork of most of them. But she wasn't expecting that last guy.
Right.
And he was a strong guy. So then when she does take care of it all and come back to the tied up guy, she's like, learn how to count.
Count, yeah. So. You're like, okay.
And then, like you said, going back to the SSR office, Bradley Whitford's being a jerk once more, saying all of how she's done something wrong. But then he gets a phone call.
It's a phone call from our friend, someone we've met before, good old Howard Stark, father of Tony. And we last saw, of course, in Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the sexist boss that actually Carter needs to come join him in. Is it Washington?
Yes.
And he'd like her to run S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. So they are
like
now,
a big deal.
So now SSR kind of is the precursor
to
S.H.I.E.L.D. Strategic Strategy Reserves or whatever it stood for. But now in light of everything that happened in Captain America, they're putting this new organization together. Howard Stark.
Right.
And then he sees Agent Carter and he wants to bring her on also to sort of run the agency because he knows her well and knows what she's capable of and that she just foiled this Zodiac thing. One more feather in her cap. So it's really humiliating to the guy who is dressing her down.
Right. He has to come and tell her this news. And Howard sort of makes the point of saying, and make sure you tell her, is it that you're sure she'll do a great job or something?
And then that it's your honor to
tell
her this news.
Tell her that it's your honor.
So just really the extra
twist the knife. I loved
it. That really emasculates the guy. And so it's a funny little bit in there. And then he's even offering to help her with her belongings. And she just looks in her drawer and there's that picture of Steve that she had, which we saw earlier in the one shot.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I can take care of myself. And I think that's
I've never needed your help.
Yeah,
and I don't need it now.
Right. That's the only thing she takes. I guess that's her one personal effect.
Yeah.
Everything else is business.
Yep.
So that says something nice too about her. And then this has a post-credit scene. And I think, Penny, you've got something to say about that one. Let's go back to Penny's Corner.
Hi, it's me, Penny, again, for fourth Penny's Corner, and this time it's Agent Carter, and my part was at the end when they do, like, a post-credit scene thingy, even though it's, like, a short film. Two characters, Howard Stark and Dum Dum Dugan, which is a weird name, look at these things that we don't know what they are, but then it turns out they're bikinis because they were a new invention at the time, and they liked the way they looked. Anyways, that's all for Penny's Corner in this part. I'll see you in the last Penny's Corner of the episode for the last one shot. Bye!
Yeah, I guess bikinis were a new thing back then, so that's why we see Dum Dum Dugan once more, and he's staring intently at these two women in their two-piece bathing suits.
Something, this newfangled French invention called bikinis.
You see, Howard is just... We don't know what they're looking at first. Howard says it's called a bikini because Dum Dum is just almost dumbfounded, living up to a dumb name, at looking at these women and their newfangled piece of clothing. So that was amusing and a nice little chance to get another character cameo in there.
Yeah, fun little cameo, fun little button on the piece. Yeah, I very much enjoyed that one.
I figured, because I know we've talked in the past about some of the female characters, even leads, where they're only doing so much.
Right.
Even the ones where they try to give them more agency, still at this
point. They're not really centered in anything. And this one, she's very much the star of the show. So it's a lot of fun.
She's the kick butt action heroine. Yeah. And we see everything she's capable of, and in an environment where there's rampant sexism, and she proves her worth and then some. So I figured it would really resonate with you.
Yeah, that one was good times for sure.
And then lastly, we got one more of this batch of one shots.
Yep. This one is All Hail the King.
That is correct. This was from the Blu-ray of the thing we reviewed in the last episode, Thor the Dark World. This one's 13 minutes, so it's a little under Agent Carter, a little longer than Item 47. And who do we spend time with in All Hail the King?
This is all about Trevor Slattery, the actor who was hired to play the fake Mandarin, right, in Iron Man 3?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Iron Man 3.
Yes.
Okay. It took me a second to sort out all the Iron Men. Irons Man.
With the very divisive reveal of him being an actor.
That's right.
Playing a character called the Mandarin, which seemingly was something that Aldrich Killian came up to give a big scary boogeyman. And he himself, in some of the final moments of the battle at the end of that film, proclaimed himself to be the Mandarin. But we go a little deeper in this. It's showing Trevor as he's in prison. It starts off with a quote. I think, was it King Lear that's on screen?
I completely glossed over the quote. What was the quote?
I didn't write down the quote. Let me just see. I'll have to search this. I don't want to type W. I want to type Q. Let's see. It's giving me quotes of people saying things. I'm like at the beginning of... You know what? Screw it. I got my TV right here. Bear with
According
me.
To AI.
We're going to trust AI.
Okay, I better not read the AI one. I don't trust that at all.
Well, you could tell me what it says out of amusement and we'll see.
Okay, so AI claims that the Shakespeare... Okay, you know what? No, I don't like it.
It just doesn't seem...
It's from something from The Tempest. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right to me. We're moving on.
Okay, there's my Disney Plus if that got picked up by the microphone. Let's quickly check this. There it is. Play. Okay, so I just pulled it up and I was right. It's from King Lear. It says, "Come not between the dragon and his wrath." King Lear, Act 1, Scene 1. Yes. So that quote is how All Hail the King begins. Then it quickly flashes the logo of the Ten Rings over the color bars. Then we get the Marvel.
It does it. See, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, so
the Ten Rings logo.
We had two things before we actually see the Marvel logo there. And so we're following him in jail in the wake of being arrested following Killian's whole thing falling apart in Iron Man 3.
Yep.
We see him walking in the prison from behind, and he's got a tattoo on his neck that is Captain America's shield, but instead of the star, it has the Avengers A in the middle. I don't know what that exactly is meant to represent.
Hey, what was that about?
Why would this guy have
Why would he have that?
Symbols of the superheroes on his neck. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the intent was there, but that was just one little detail.
Yeah.
What did you think of this one overall?
It was pretty good. The twist was a surprise to me. So I enjoyed that. And I thought it was funny, his sidekick / bodyguard, his celebrity life in prison and feeling like the big man in prison.
He's kind of notorious because of his role in that whole thing. And everyone
yeah.
treats him special. And he's associated with certain groups that kind of help protect him because he's just this little goofy British actor drug addict. Couldn't probably really defend
Yeah.
himself well on his own, but they buy into this celebrity status that he's got.
Yeah, and then we have this character, Jackson Norris, who's played by Scoot McNairy, who's just a name that was familiar to me, and I realized he was in the show called Halt and Catch Fire that I really liked.
Oh,
I've
okay.
never seen that.
That's a memorable name, different kind of name.
Yeah, it's a fun show. Very different from this. Very different character that he played here. But he reveals himself later. That twist really took me by surprise.
Well,
but,
right. When
okay.
you say twist, the premise is that this person is making a documentary.
Right.
And they're having, I guess, what's
they're
supposed
an
to be the
interview
final
trailer.
Interview with him regarding his role in the whole Mandarin scheme with Aldrich Killian.
Yeah. And he does that horrible accent again. That made me so angry. And
oh,
the,
when they
the
want
movie.
Him, like, do the voice
the
kind of thing?
Do the voice. And he does that terrible, terrible accent. He wants his chalky milk. It's all very funny. Ben Kingsley does a great job with this role. Great
yeah, it's
actor.
Very silly.
It's a very silly character. Very unthreatening character.
And then at one
very
point
easily threatened.
Yeah, there is a confrontation, which
yes.
I don't think it was said in the short, but I looked up because I was surprised to see this actor because he's in another Marvel thing. And I think it was already out at the time from what I was looking up. And I was surprised he was in there. But again, that was a Marvel TV project. And again, until the Disney Plus era, the two heads kind of didn't always really, not necessarily not know what the other was doing, but they didn't really connect on it. So sometimes you'd have someone in a TV project and then you'd have them playing a different character in the movie.
Yeah,
because
they were just separate
Marvel Television
things.
And Marvel Studios were different sub-entities under the same roof. So this guy on IMDb, he's credited as White Power Dave. And he's the one
amazing.
Starting with him. His actor is Matt Gerald. And
okay.
Depending on how far we go with a certain series, you may be seeing him again in a different role.
Interesting.
And like you said, so we're seeing the guy interview, or maybe you could say interrogate. I guess it's an interview. It's a documentary, but he's really kind of hammering him, and he's trying to get information out of him. Not necessarily in a friendly way, at least at a point where you'd think a documentary filmmaker might have a more soft approach.
Oh, yeah. He's really aggressive about it. He shows footage from this 80s CBS pilot that Trevor was doing when his mother died. And
Caged Heat.
They really make a point of showing that the music of the pilot was by Mike Post. And I was wondering if there's any significance to that in the Marvel world, or it's just Mike Post is a well-known television music writer. Like, he wrote L.A. Law music.
Oh,
he wrote
I
a lot
didn't
of
put that together.
Yeah.
It seems like a familiar name, but I didn't put that together.
He's done a lot of the big shows of the 80s and 90s. He did News Radio, which is my favorite.
Oh, there you
song,
go.
Which is why the name pops out to me. But yeah, I just thought it was funny that just like this real world guy is featured briefly in this silly looking television pilot that Trevor did that CBS didn't pick up, and he's not over it. He's just not over it.
Yeah, he was sort of a Russian character, I guess, like KGB agent or something. And then
oh yeah, his fabulous accent work on display yet again, doing a terrible Russian accent. I mean, it's very funny how bad his accents are.
Yeah, and then you see a
it.
Monkey drinking vodka at a bar with him.
I mean, I'd watch it. That sounds great.
It's clearly played for laugh, and it's got that really cheesy 80s vibe leaning, kind of like a Miami Vice sort of going on, but definitely amusing. And so, like we said, this guy is hammering him for information regarding his time as part of Killian's whole thing and calling himself the Mandarin. And at one point, he says the phrase, historically associated with the Mandarin, which should give someone pause right there, because as far as we know, with information that we have to this point, Killian made up the Mandarin. He claimed to be the Mandarin after the reveal that it was the supposed boogeyman. But like I mentioned in the Iron Man 3 episode, when he talks about they paid to have plastic surgery, which seemed like an odd line to otherwise be thrown away, it seemed to indicate he changed his appearance
like
to match some other known Mandarin. But that's our first hint in this that there is more to it. And like you said, there's a twist.
Do you think that this was, in retrospect, their way to sort of repair the reaction to
Well, that's exactly Mandarin? I was just about to say that, yeah, we could. I was going to let you get to the twist, but sure. I was thinking of just saying that too, because I think this came about because of that divisiveness and the reaction that they wanted to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Kind of. So, well, just let's get into the twist.
Let's get to the twist then. Well, so Jackson's in the Ten Rings, right? And they're mad at him and they want to break him out to meet the real Mandarin, right? The real Mandarin wants
yes,
to meet
he says,
you
took his name and now he wants it back.
Yeah.
And he takes out everyone else in the room, which one of the main things I always remembered about this short, which was kind of cool, he's got the camera set up on the tripod for the interview, and right. It's working like a real camera, but all of a sudden, techno stuff happens, and a gun assembles itself in the workings of the camera.
Yeah,
and
that part was pretty cool.
So that's like one of the things.
That's not a real camera. That's not an ordinary camera right there.
I always
more
remembered.
Fun tech.
But it seemed like it was also simultaneously working as a camera, so it just...
Right.
Was,
it did both. Multifunctional.
It was more than meets the eye, you could say. That's an 80s boy property that I was never much into. I grew up with all the big stuff, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. But G.I. Joe and Transformers were never
things for me. I had a couple Transformers as a girl, even. I had a couple.
Yeah, I don't know. Those two things, I just never hooked into them when I was a kid.
It's funny what we latch onto and what we completely ignore.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't know why those things didn't resonate or I didn't have as much exposure as with other things, but that's just how it goes with that. But so, yeah, he gets the gun. He's taking out everybody in the room. Trevor gets the gun at a point and thinks he's got the upper hand. But of course, this guy's pretty skilled. So.
Is that the part where he says something like, you're not going to shoot me? And he says, I'm an out of work actor, love. You have no idea what I'm capable of.
Yes.
Which is a very funny line.
Another funny line. And then he quickly gets the gun away from Trevor and points it at his head. And he's like, why is everyone always pointing guns
at me? Oh, Trevor.
And so he's panicking because he thinks this apparent real Mandarin wants him taken out for what he did and stealing the name and all that. But they want to take him to this Mandarin for some purpose. So, yeah, like you indicated, I think it was a way of telling the audience, but wait, no, the real Mandarin is out there.
There is one. No, really.
So, yeah. We'll save him for a future point, so don't be so mad at us. Anyone who liked the twist, yes, that still happened in the movie, but anyone who didn't, all right.
What? Yeah, it is very much...
That's not the end of the story.
Yep.
So it served that purpose, I think.
I actually love it when fans can influence the course of things like that. Not that they're always right.
No, I was going to say.
Just the fact of it, that kind of power is fascinating to me.
It can be used for good or evil. I think one extreme on the for good side is when they I don't want to say bullied, but it kind of really put pressure to redo Sonic the Hedgehog's design in that movie. That first trailer and the first posters, he looked awful. And so
I
often...
I didn't notice any of... I've never seen Sonic the Hedgehog.
But
this
so
went
often,
way over my head.
Yeah, so often in these things, when they adapt a character that's animated or from a video game, and they bring it into CG, now they're in our world kind of situations, they change it for the sake of the movie when it's like, keep it simple, stupid. So they went back. They had to do all this new animating. Who knows what it...
Wow.
Who knows what it cost them, but they came back with the trailer and he looks like a CG version of the guy in the video games. And then that franchise was huge. So as much as it cost them to fix the animation, I think
it was probably worth it. Yeah.
Because
people went to see the movie.
It did really well. And if they didn't do it, I think it would have tanked. So, but then
it's interesting. Sometimes it's good, sometimes bad.
On the bad side, you have the cult around Zack Snyder that bullied, like legit bullied DC and Warner Brothers to try to get his cut of Justice League released. And they were very bad faith actors.
Great fan power can be used for great good or great evil.
Exactly. Like so much in this world.
So I think we're just at the mid-credits sequence, which we have to touch upon.
So once again, we get a little cameo taking us back. Who's in this one?
That is the great Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer, who is also in prison.
Yes.
the same prison.
We see on the back of like the orange jumpsuit, it's Seagate, which is a prison taken from the comics. So
cool.
Just so happens Justin Hammer's there along with Trevor, and we get some classic Sam Rockwell vibes from him.
Yep. He has a really funny line. He's sort of just complaining about Trevor and his popularity and says, it's like Bin Laden and Benny Hill had a baby, which is a perfect,
yeah, it's a good
perfect
line.
Description of that character.
It's Sam Rockwell fits Justin Hammer, and he's reading a magazine with Pepper Potts on the cover, and he's all bothered. But he's still complimentary to Tony, even after everything happened. He kind of looks up to him, even though he was his rival, and he's in jail because of his actions. But he's like, Tony's cool, but Pepper, you know.
Yep.
And we see he's classic. Formed some sort of relationship with another inmate.
He's got a boyfriend. He's doing his best there in prison. He's living his life. Not quite happy to see Trevor get all the attention.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap it up on that one, once more over to Penny's Corner.
Hi, it's Penny again for the final Penny's Corner of the episode. This one is for the one shot named All Hail the King. And the fun fact for this one is, after the interviewer has revealed himself and put a gun to Trevor's head, you can see he has a tattoo on his arm for the 10 rings, the bad guys. And I just thought this would be an easy one because it's simple, because knowing someone that's interviewing you is a bad guy is honestly a pretty weird thing. Anyways, that wraps it up with today's Penny's Corners. I hope you enjoyed them all. I'll see you next time. Bye!
Yeah. Again, with the very good eye, Penny, I don't know if you saw that, but when the guys revealed himself, you see on his arm, he has a tattoo of the 10 rings. So I don't know if he had his sleeves on and then he rolled them up, but clearly nobody noticed them on the way to the interview. So thanks for that, Penny. And at that, unless you have any more to say, I think we're good.
Yep, those were fun little watches. Didn't take that much time out of my day. I am ready if we are ready for another movie. What would be the next movie?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I know, but let me just double check. Actually, I have the Word document let up. I'm pretty sure I know, but I just want to double check. Okay. So, not that I want to put any bias or anything, but I think we're in for a treat with this one, because this is one of the ones that's considered on the higher end of Marvel's films. We have had Iron Man having two sequels, Thor's gotten one sequel, now it's Captain America's turn. We are next going to visit Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Excellent.
So,
okay.
I won't say too much about it. Have you heard of the Winter Soldier, just out of curiosity?
I've seen the name around, and I don't know if it's because I've been flipping around Disney Plus or I've heard people mention it. I feel I have heard people mention it in the culture, so maybe that's a good sign.
Okay.
Maybe it's not a good, I don't know. I hope it's a good sign. I'm going with an open mind. I did enjoy the first Captain America movie, so I have higher hopes.
Yeah, I think that's a good sign that you'll really like this one. It is generally considered one of the top of the bunch, and I'm sure I'll enjoy a revisit and share it with Penny. And until then, thanks everybody for listening. I hope you had fun with this slightly different episode, but we still had our usual vibe and gave it the best we got. So yeah, we'll see you next time for Captain America the Winter Soldier. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you then. Bye.
See you next time.
Zack and Tavy's Marvelous Adventure is produced and co-hosted by Zach Walliner and Tavy Phillips. Featuring Penny Walliner. Edited by Zach Walliner. Theme music by Luis Humanoid. Cover art by Chris Giarusa. If you enjoy our show, please be sure to leave a nice review and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. And follow us on all the major social media sites and apps at Zach Tavy Marvel. That's ZACHTAVIEMARVEL. Thanks again for tuning in. Enough said.